at your work, at your place of employment, that ask you to do something a little extra, to do more than what you're really paid to do? How do you respond to that? How do you respond when you want to do something nice for people, such as give them something? Do you, in your heart, really want something back? Are you really giving to get, or giving simply because your heart desires to give to people? Well, these are the issues that Jesus deals with in this point in the Sermon on the Mount. As we've been looking at our series that we're going through on the Sermon on the Mount called Living in the Kingdom. And you know, I want to make sure that we understand. I said this initially, but I want to make sure that we see it again. You know, living in the kingdom is like scaling a mountain. You know, we talk about ascending, but ascending isn't always easy. Sometimes when you're climbing, you come to a cliff that sort of leans backwards, and it's very, very difficult to scale over that. And this is one of those. Today's lesson specifically is called Kingdom Response. How do we respond? Do we respond as the world responds, or is there something different that Jesus expects from us? Are we ascending? Are we just doing status quo? What are we really doing in our lives? And this one really challenges us. This one is one that really causes us to ascend. And you may have thought that this was going to be an easy one, but it's not, because it's something that just really addresses each one of our lives. While you're turning to Matthew chapter 5:38, I'm going to pray for us. And I'm going to ask the Lord to bless us and be with us. Father, we do. We come now, Lord, to this moment at this time. We've sang to you. We've worshiped you. We've laughed. We've felt your presence. And now, Lord, I ask you in the name of Jesus, Lord, that you'll deposit your word into us, that we will be good soil, that the sower goes forth to sow the word of the kingdom. And, Lord, it brings forth fruit. And, Lord, we ask you to let it bring forth much fruit. Let us bring forth 30 and 60 and 100 fold so that our lives will be blessed and that we'll be in your kingdom. I ask you to anoint our ears that we can hear what the Spirit has to say to each of us. And Lord, I ask you to anoint me, Lord, that I'll be able to speak the words of Jesus in a way, Lord, that will minister to each person here. So I ask it in the name of Jesus Christ. If you agree with that, would you say amen? Amen. Amen. Well, praise Jesus. How many like the praise and worship this morning? Was that good or what? Yeah. Yeah, we had some folks out of town, and man, they just kicked right in there. That was great. We just need to do that occasionally, with whether they're here or not here. Whether the people that are gone are here or not here, we just need to do this. I think this was just really refreshing. It was to me. So how is a Christ follower supposed to act when challenged and facing different negative circumstances? How are we? So let's first of all see what Jesus says here in Matthew chapter 5 and verse 38, and then we'll go from there. Jesus begins this one like he has all the rest of them. He says, "You have heard that it was said, eye for eye and tooth for tooth." So he began this particular thought or point in his six standards of righteousness that we're on now, the fifth one. He began this particular one the same way as he's begun the previous four, and he will begin the last one that we'll look at next week. He begins it by saying, "You've heard it said of old," or "you've heard it said before." What he's referring to here is the old covenant, or the law of Moses, or the Ten Commandments, some place where they have been taught by the Pharisees to respond or act or respond to God and do things in a specific way. And this particular one, he says, he's talking here about an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. Now, this is something that is recorded in several places in the Old Testament. For example, it's recorded in Exodus 21:24, Leviticus 24:20, and Deuteronomy 19:21, just to give you three. So it's something that was very, very well written about in the Old Covenant. It was something that everyone was familiar with. And it's called lex talionis. Lex meaning law. Talionis means response, how we respond. How are actually is the talionis is retaliation. How we are to retaliate. It's the law of response or the law of retaliation. How should we do it? Now, what he's referring to, and I want to read one of those passages, is Leviticus 24:20. Let's look 19 and 20. Let's look at this. If anyone injures his brother, whatever he has done must be done to him. Fracture for fracture, eye for eye, tooth for tooth, as he has injured the other, so he is to be injured. Now, how many of us like that passage. I mean, that's pretty good, huh? Actually, it was written not in a literal way of if someone were to have done something to me that caused me to break my arm, that I get to break theirs. That would do me no good. What benefit would that be to me? If somebody pulled a good tooth in my mouth because they were supposed to be pulling a bad one, I don't get to go and pull one of their good ones. You know, that's not what he's really referring to here. Actually, the purpose of Lex Talionis was to limit retaliation. Within each of us, there is this desire to respond back just by a little more than we got. For example, like if you dent my fender, I want you to buy me a new car. Right? Or if your spouse committed adultery on you, you get to run over them 3 times in your Mercedes. That's how we kind of want to respond. Lex Talionis was given to limit response. It's supposed to be exactly as. And so this is what Jesus is referring to. And today's civil and penal responses, laws are built right now on that principle. That's what we live by. That's what we are in the world to live by. And this was given 2,000 years prior to Jesus talking about it. And for 2,000 years, it had done pretty well. For 2,000 years, it had worked fine. But then along comes Jesus and changes everything. Now, he's going to change this in his kingdom. And if we want to experience his kingdom, which is life and that more abundantly, if we want an abundant, blessed life, we can't do Lex Talionis plus. We've got to do it his way. And this one's tough. So let's see what he said. What did Jesus say? Matthew 5:39 says, "But I tell you, do not resist an evil person. If someone strikes you on the right cheek, turn to him the other also. And if someone wants to sue you and take your tunic," that would be your shirt, "let him have your cloak as well. If someone forces you to go 1 mile, go with him 2 miles. Give to the one who asks you, and do not turn away from the one who wants to borrow from you." Now, for 2,000 years, this is not how they lived. And so I would imagine that day as Jesus spoke this on the mount, that there were some very strange looks on the faces of people. Probably very similar, they felt, the very first time you ever heard something like "turn the cheek." Or when somebody had done something very malicious to you and someone said, "let it go." Inside of you, there is a resistance to this. So what did Jesus mean? What did he really mean? Are we supposed to be total pacifists that roll over and play dead when the devices of evil people come against us? What about capital punishment? Should murderers just be free? Should we just let them run? What about Romans chapter 13, where there Paul is writing about the need for the police authorities, for the authorities to keep down those kinds of things? Is there a contradiction in what Jesus said with what Paul said? So what is meant here? How do we in the kingdom make sense of this? So what Jesus did is he gave us 4 examples to help us understand it and get it into a place where we can work with this. And so these 4 examples today, these 4 places, these 4 examples that the Lord gave to us, we're going to talk about those briefly for each one, just to kind of open this up. And I want to give you 4 ways of response that he talks about. And the first one here is responding to malicious insult. How do we respond to a malicious insult or the slap? Matthew 5:39 says, "If someone strikes you on the right cheek, turn to him the other also." Now, first thing I want to make sure we note here is that Jesus was not talking about a physical attack. He wasn't talking about murder. What he was talking about was a malicious insult, a slap. It wasn't life-threatening. It's ego threatening, but not life threatening. And so what Jesus is talking about here is something that's stirring something up inside of us, our pride. And so Jesus simply says, let it go. Don't respond. Now, I don't know about you, but this one is tough for me. I don't do well here. And when I respond back, I want to do it with Lex Talionis Plus. I want to give them back just a little more than they gave me. But Jesus says, leave it alone and don't respond to insults or challenges. Now let's take this home to our lives, to our homes, to our spouse. Say, we had a bad day. And I nearly had a bad day yesterday. So we had a bad day. And we go home. And the one spouse, sort of challenges the other. You know, maybe I messed up. Maybe I did something wrong. I blew it. And I'm questioned or I'm challenged about it. And I'm told, I told you so, or you did it wrong, or you should have done it this way. Well, what will I usually do unless I'm walking in the kingdom? I will stir something up inside of me that will bring back Lex Talionis. I will return the challenge. I will return the insult. I will return the slap. And I want mine to be just a little bit harder, a little bit sharper, a little bit louder than the one I received. Now, what would she do? She's going to cook something up, and it's coming back again, and hers is going to be a little bit louder and a little bit sharper and a little bit meaner than the one I gave. And then here we go. What am I going to do? I am going to cook another one up, and it's going to come out just a little bit louder, and it's going to come out just a little bit stronger, and here we go. And the next thing you know is something that should have been dealt with within a few minutes is now going on for hours or days or divorce. What if I had just let it go? I want to talk to you students just a minute. How do you respond when a friend says something about you? How do you respond when one of your friends that you've known since grammar school just says something about you? Let me tell you. Gossiping begins. And you respond back with something about them. And then you choose your side, and your friends choose their side. And now we've got this thing going on. And friendships that you've had since grammar school are now broken. If it was true, then you need to work on it and not respond to it. If it wasn't true, you know it wasn't true. And people that know you know that it wasn't true. But now instead of it being dealt with immediately, we've got this big breach, and we've got this long time before we can really patch it up. I remember years ago, in my BC days, this was before I came to Jesus, my father-in-law said something negative about me. And he loved me and I loved him. But he said something out of concern. But big bad me had to challenge him. I went, found him, and challenged him. And it wasn't pretty. He was a very hard-headed man, just about like me. And here we go. He loved me, I loved him. But all of a sudden, there is this thing going on. And after I had calmed down, I apologized. But that didn't fix it. For 2 years, he would not come to our home. For 2 years, he would not come see his baby daughter in my home. For 2 years, he would not come see his grandchildren. I apologized numerous times. Finally, after about 2 years of time, We fixed it. But what if I had just let it go? I think we all relate to this. Something that should have been dealt with or maybe not even mentioned. This should have never been an issue with us at all. Lasted for 2 years. All these hard feelings. All of this stuff we were dealing with. What if someone maliciously insults you that you don't care about to start with? It's one thing to deal with your wife or with a friend. But what about someone that you don't like to start with? What if they say something to you? Or if they maliciously attack you? Now that one's tough. That one's nearly impossible. How do we handle it? How does Jesus expect us to handle it? Here's what He expects us to do. Step back and calm down. Say something if you can. I'm sorry you feel that way. And get away from it just as soon as you can. If you respond properly, what you'll do is you'll look at your heart and you'll say, I did well. God is going to bless me. And you'll sleep well at night. And it won't be something you wake up in the morning thinking about or go to bed at night thinking about. But if we do it lex talionis, or if we do it incorrectly, we're going to go to bed at night with that on our minds. It's going to infiltrate our thoughts. Every time we see that individual, we're going to be, oh, all this stuff's inside of us. It affects our spiritual person. We won't be able to forgive him. And if we don't forgive, what happens? We're not forgiven. It affects our spiritual walk with God. It affects our use by the Holy Spirit of our lives. It affects our spirit. It affects our soul. It infiltrates our thoughts in the mornings or at night. It comes into our thinking all the time. You'll have times where all of a sudden that thought of that individual comes into your head and you're thinking of ways of getting even. It affects your body. Your blood pressure goes up. Come on, help me now. You feel bad? Oh, makes you sick. But if you just let it go, if you turn the cheek, God will bless you. The greatest thing about turning the cheek is what it does inside of you, the peace that it brings you. So if you don't, it affects your body, your soul, and your spirit. If you do, it brings you health and peace. Just the opposite of what happens if we do it incorrectly. So that's the first one. Then the second one, responding to lawsuits. The second one that Jesus talks about here is responding to lawsuits. Now, God forbid, but what if? He says, and if someone wants to sue you and take your tunic, that would be your shirt, let him have your cloak as well. Now, we need to take a minute here and grab the culture. We need to understand the society to which this was spoken, and so we can properly grab it. So the best way I've determined to do this is to read you a quote from R. Kent Hughes out of a book that I have. And this is what it says concerning this particular thing. It was possible in that day to sue others for the very shirt on their backs. However, no one could take another's cloak for a permanent 24-hour-a-day possession. A cloak or outer robe was indispensable for living in Palestine. So even if you lost your shirt or your tunic in court, and your opponent asked for your cloak and won it, he was required to return it every evening for you to sleep in. That was the law. And it's to this that Jesus responds and to which Jesus speaks. But how does that apply to you and I today? Now, again, I want us to see here in that passage that Jesus does not tell us to roll over and play dead to the demises of evil people. There is obviously a court case going on here. Obviously, there has been a court situation. The individual who was sued, the Christ follower who was sued, went to court. And there was a court trial. There was a hearing before a judge or a magistrate. which the Christ follower lost. He went, he projected his position, he projected his case. He went, he did the best he could to show his position, but he lost the case. It's not that he wasn't supposed to go to court, roll over and play dead, and just let somebody sue you. That's not what you do. You go to court and you take care of business. But if you lose the case, and this in this particular case, the winner, the opponent of the Christ follower, said, I want his coat as well. I want his cloak. I want his robe. I just don't want the shirt off his back. I want the robe he sleeps in. Jesus said, give it to him. But the law said that the guy taking the cloak had to return it every day. Now, when we go through something like that, do we want to keep it alive where every day this person, in this analogy, this person had to come and find the loser, find the Christ follower every day. And every day the Christ follower had to relive all that hard feeling, open up that wound again. Every day. Every day this person would show up in their lives. Every day. Jesus is saying, don't do that. When it's over, it's over. When it's cut, it's cut. Let it go. Don't keep dealing with stuff over and over and again and again. What do we do when we've had a bad situation? Do we keep looking for ways to lex talionis? Do we keep looking for ways of getting even? Every day we're planning and scheming. Now, how am I going to get even with this? What can I do today to make it miserable for their life? Or do we let it go? Again, and let me ask you, what happens if we don't let it go? What happens in our life? Would you want to respond to me? Would anybody want to comment? You get bitter. You keep that unforgiveness happening. When you have to deal with this every day, it's difficult to forgive. And you got this going on in your life, unforgiveness. You got stuff going on in your life that you're not forgiving. Again, it affects your spirit, your soul, and your body. It makes you sick. Jesus said, just let it go. Let it go. Number three, the third example that he gave us, responding to unhappy labor. Matthew 5:41. If someone forces you to go 1 mile, go with him 2 miles. Now again, understanding the culture and the society helps us with this passage as well. Any Roman soldier could command any person to carry his backpack for 1 mile or 1,000 paces. And they did it frequently. And they did it to the Jews. And they hated it. And that caused such hatred for the Romans in their hearts. You remember Simon of Cyrene? He was the guy who had to carry the cross of Christ. The soldiers said, you carry the cross. And it was Simon of Cyrene who carried the cross of Christ to Calvary, to Golgotha. That was the situation. Had he not done it, he would have been arrested or lashed right there on the spot. Now, just an interesting thought here about Simon is we find Simon again in Acts chapter 13, and he's now a Christ follower. He's now in that situation where they're about to send out Paul and Barnabas on the first missionary journey. Simon must have done it correctly. But what happens to us if we respond incorrectly? Let's say you have a supervisor, and your supervisor asks you to do something a little extra. Maybe someone's absent, so he wants you to take up some slack and do something at your workplace or do something that you're really not paid to do. What do you do? How do you respond? Instead of doing 1 mile, you need to do 2. But most of us do what? We say, I'm not going to do that. That's not my job. You know, I'm looking at Randy Parker back there. Randy, I know, lives like this. And we went through a thing several years back where they were cutting back over there. But Randy lived his life this way. Randy works, and he works hard, and he works regular, and he does more than he's supposed to do. Well, they were cutting back labor over there where he works at his plant. And so they laid Randy off. But they were going to pay him until he found another job. Well, 3 months later, was it about 3 months? He's still looking for another job, and they're still paying him. After about 3 months, they call him back to work, give him a better job, and more money. Randy had a 3-month vacation because he kept his attitude right. Now, I don't do well with a slap. I don't do good on the first one. I don't do well at all there. But I am excellent on this one. This, I shine on this one. After I had graduated college with a degree in accounting, I went to the largest plant and employer in our community, and I went and asked for a job in accounting. Well, they didn't have any openings there, but they said, "We like your resume, we like your qualifications, and we're beginning a new supervision training deal. And would you be interested in signing up for that?" And I said, "Sure, I needed a job and all this stuff." So we were putting into the supervision thing and trained and all this stuff. And, we worked in the labs and we did all this other stuff too. But we were working our way into a position of supervision. So anyhow, our job, and he said, there were several of us college kids, but our job was to learn every job in the plant. And then, hopefully, when a supervision job came available, we would be offered it and moved into it. Well, some of those jobs in that plant were so nasty and so difficult. And when they were out, when the person that ran that job was absent, when they were out, it was very difficult sometimes of getting someone to come in and run it. Well, one day I just began doing one. I just began doing the job. And so the supervisor came to me and he said, "What are you doing?" And I said, "Well, I'm running this job. Nobody's running it, and I just thought I'd do it." He said, "You don't have to do that." And I said, "I know I don't have to do it." I said, "But, you know, it needs to be done, and I'll do it." And I began doing that. Now, what happened, of course, is the people that were there, the people that were working there, knew they didn't like me because they knew that there was this young whippersnapper, this young college kid, that I'm training to be their boss. I'm training to get to a position where I'll tell them what to do. They didn't like me for that. They didn't like me because I was that young. But when they saw me starting to do that, when they saw me responding, going the 2 miles when I didn't have to, they liked me. They began saying, "Well, you're not such a bad guy after all." And guess who got the very first opportunity when a supervision position opened up? I got it. I made more money than all of my friends made. I had the best job. And just another thing on that line is that no matter what shift I was ever on or what plant I ever worked at, my team, my group, was always at the very highest point that you could do in production. We was always number one. And a part of that reason was because I would go the 2 miles. Somebody was out, I'd get out there and help them. Somebody got behind, I'd get out there and help them. And they liked me. And they would work for me. And they would produce for me. And we consistently were the very top. That's what Jesus is saying. Don't just do what you're asked to do. Do some more. Don't just go the 1 mile. Go the two. If you want to be blessed in life, if you want not to just live by lex talionis and getting back just what you've given, give a little more than is expected to give, and God's going to turn around and bless your life. That's what He says He'll do. What if you don't? What if you don't respond? What if you have the attitude, "That's not my job. You pay me more and I'll do more"? Or what if that's our attitude? What happens in our life? Anybody want to respond to that? Pardon? Get fired? Eventually, I mean, you develop a rapport that way, that you have that kind of an attitude. One thing, you have a difficult time keeping jobs because you're always dissatisfied at your job. You get out of bed in the morning hating to go to work. You hate your boss. And eventually, you hate life. And again, it affects your spirit, your worship, affects your thought life. It'll make you sick. The last one that Jesus gave us was responding to giving, responding in giving. Matthew 5:42. "Give to the one who asks you, and do not turn away from the one who wants to borrow from you." Now here Jesus talked about giving and lending. Now, is Jesus saying that every time the telephone rings and a telemarketer calls and wants me to buy something that I should do it? There would be no money left over to pay my bills, right? So that's not what He's talking about. What about just giving to the people that won't work, period? We just know they just won't work. Is that what He's talking about here? Should we give to the alcoholics or the drug addicts to add to their demise? Is that what we should do? No, no. He says to be a good steward with the things that I've given to you. So what's he really talking about here? You see, Christ followers, believers, if we can help, we should help. That's not the deal. The deal is we should help without expecting something back. Give. Lend. I see this a lot in what I do. I see a lot of times people give something, but they're always expecting something back. I think of an individual who would walk up to people and shake hands with them and pass off a $100 bill as they shook hands. And outwardly that seemed so good, so wonderful, so giving. But then a few days later the telephone would ring. And the guy would say, "Hey, can you help me do this?" And it always appeared to me, and it did in my case, with my $100, that it took me like months to work off that $100, you know. And I didn't want any more handshakes, you know. I don't. So, in our heart, how do we give? Do we give with ulterior motives? Wanting something back, lex talionis? Or do we give just because we're believers and we can help and we can give and we want to give? When we lend stuff, you know, it comes back a little bumped up or messed up, you know. We make a big issue out of it. Do we want a new one because, you know, they took a shovel and scratched it up a little bit? How do we respond in our giving? How do we do? You see, lex talionis is not a part of the kingdom. Jesus does not operate his kingdom with lex talionis, eye for an eye, tooth for a tooth. That's not how it works. He refutes that. He says, that's not the way I want you to live because that's not how you're blessed. Now I want to tell you a story. I don't do well with the first one. In doing what I do, I am maliciously attacked frequently. I get to experience that. And most times I will work it right. Most times I will turn the cheek. Most times I will say, I'm sorry you feel that way, and I'll walk away from it. Most times. But one time I didn't. One time I wanted, and I went after lex talionis. I walked out of the kingdom. I walked out of the protection of Jesus. I just walked out from all of that, and I wanted to do it my way, and I did it. That was the most embarrassing moment of my life because I responded to a response, and then they responded to what I did, and the next thing you know, it was ugly, and I was embarrassed. And I nearly destroyed this ministry. Simply because I was going lex talionis, eye for eye. You slap me, I'm going to slap you. The way to go is let it go. Back away from it. And go to bed at night and say, thank you, Jesus, that I was big enough to turn my cheek. To give without expecting. To do it right. Thank you, Jesus. You'll be healthy and you'll be blessed. You know, I can't help but think, as Jesus was teaching this and saying this, how he's changing everything, and especially this particular one. On the mount that day, people would have very, very severe questions about the kingdom. How can this be? And part of the thing that's the most strange to me is that this was 2,000 years ago. In 2,000 years of teaching it and talking about it, we still can't get this one right. We want to retaliate when we're insulted. When we give, we want more back. We won't let things go. We keep digging them up every day. When at work, we don't respond as we should. We don't go the extra mile. And we wonder why our lives aren't blessed. And it's simply because of this. We have taken ourselves out of the kingdom. And we're living like the world. Jesus says, if you want my kingdom and you want to be blessed, I want to bless you. Here's how it works. Let's pray. Father, we love you. And every person here struggles with proper response. Lord, we want to do it kingdom way. We want to do it your way. Lord, I ask you to help us. Touch our spirits and our hearts right now. Let us see your blessings. Let us see your love for us, your care and your concern for us. Let us examine our lives, take a picture of our hearts, and see where we're at in this instruction.